have one hat and I'm putting on another. I'm going to introduce our speaker today, and I'm glad this task fell to me, because the Lord moves in mysterious ways and his wonders to behold. When our original speaker canceled, my wife can attest to the fact that I agonized for 2 weeks over who to ask, especially since one of those good Ebenezer brothers pulled me aside and said, "Bert, you know we just can't have anybody for Men's Day as a speaker." And then he went on to describe what he wanted to see. And I said, "Okay, brother, that's fine." Well, the saints in the audience can identify with this. I had a 3:25 a.m. wake-up call from the Lord. I tried to go back to sleep, but he wouldn't let me, so I went downstairs and sat in the dark and listened. This inner voice told me, "You heard your speaker yesterday." Our speaker today provided the eulogy for his grandfather, the Reverend Dr. Vernon Swisher. Members of Ebenezer who attended were blessed with his message, and I heard several remark how dynamic he was or had been. So I started this quest to contact today's speaker. First, I looked at the program, and then I Googled him, and then I Facebooked him, and I called the number provided, and this person answered the phone. After explaining my purpose for calling, she said, "That's my son." I called the number she had provided, and he immediately said yes. Sister Carrie Swisher is his grand aunt, and I'm sure you will be blessed, because I only found out later that he was a graduate of the University of Texas at Austin. Hook 'em horns. That's not why he's here. I didn't know that at first, but I did find that out. So today, I'm happy to introduce the interim pastor of Galilee Community Church in Houston, Texas, Vincent R. Swisher Oliver. Vincent R. Swisher Oliver. Be blessed.
Good morning. You may be seated. Good morning, Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. Good morning. It is so good to be in your midst. Let us go with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this church. You have shepherded them so well. They are full of passion and desire for you, Lord. I know that you're proud. Lord, you've built up the foundation of this church on such wonderful men. And I pray that you will build this foundation for another 150 years. And I also pray that they will have a home here to worship in Austin, Texas until Christ comes back, Lord, whenever that is. Heavenly Father, I'm so blessed to see all of these men here. A lot of times in churches, we're lacking men, but we got them here. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will rear up young men to learn from their older men, young men to gain and attain the wisdom, so that way in 30, 40, 50 years, they will be preaching, teaching, leading, guiding, discipling, and evangelizing this community in Austin, Texas. We love you, Lord God. Oh, we love you. I pray that you will take over this message. You'll fill it with your spirit, Lord. You gave us one of the most amazing psalms to preach from today, Psalm 100, and we will make a joyful noise. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Good morning, Ebenezer. It is amazing being in a church with so much history. As I was driving up here today, I was talking to my wife and I said, "You know, you don't just step in a church with 150 years under their belt every day, you know." And so what I love about this church is y'all have come to become leaders of other churches. Y'all, God has built y'all up to be a church that leads other churches, and I believe that y'all are a great example of that. So I want to pray that God will continue what he's doing here. I pray that the men here will continue to learn from their older men, the wiser men, and that way you will always have people to minister to you. I pray for your leadership. I can see it here. I have never been greeted by so many men in a church. And all of these men are distinguished, and they're focused, and they're earnest in their love and their service to you. And so I thank God for that. So the subject of our worship today for men's service is honoring our past and building our future. Well, how do we honor the past? I wrestle with this question. How do we truly give honor to the past? Do we, like Mr. Ellison, do we showcase them, their good works, what they did to get us here? Yeah, we do that. We do that. Do we thank them by loving each other? We do that as well. But so funny. The subject of today's lesson, honoring our past by building our future. How do we honor the past? We build up the future. How do we honor the past? We do the work now to ensure that the sweat and the tears and the sleepless nights that they paved and put down to lay this foundation continues forever and ever until Christ comes back. And I believe that God will establish this church to stand until Christ comes back. We can drive down the street and we'll see hundreds of empty churches. Not Ebenezer. COVID took so many churches from us, so many houses of worship from us, but it couldn't take Ebenezer because God has founded it on the rock. And so now let's get to some scripture. So I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. So we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's start from the top. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. One of our greatest gifts as Christians, this is what the world lacks. The world can be happy at times. The world can be pleased at times. The world can get excited, but they lack joy because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. The kingdom of God is having joy in the Holy Ghost. What is that? What's that mean? I have the present awareness that God is present in my life. I am the holy temple of God, and I'll keep myself undefiled, and I'll have joy because I put my hope in salvation. So we can make a joyful noise. Don't just make a sound. Make a joyful noise. I love the translation you have. It says, shout to the Lord. Yeah. Don't let it be light. We don't go in light. We're called to have a boldness in our faith. And so we will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Then it says, all ye lands. And I love that because people think that Christ and God in the church is just for some. Oh, it's just for the holiest. It's just for those who are pure enough. It's for those who are educated and can read the Bible, or it's just for those Americans. We over here, we don't, no. It says all ye lands. He's looking for people in every nation. He's hunting them down in the Middle East, in China, in Russia, all these places where Christ is not the number one name that is praised. He's hunting them down and they will worship the Lord. He says all ye lands. That also includes all ye peoples. He's not just a God for us black people, even though we love our Jesus, don't we? He's not a God for just the white people. He's a God for the Asian man, the Middle Eastern man, the brown man, the Latino man. He's come for all of us. And that's what I love about my God. That's what I love about my God. People, it used to be just one nation and one temple. And if you didn't come to Jerusalem, you couldn't worship God in God's house. But now he's made us the house. And that's what I love about my God. He tore down all barriers. Why? Because the veil was ripped and we have access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he gave for us. So all ye lands, all you nations, all you people, every language and tongue will worship my God. And I love that. It says to serve the Lord with gladness. Yes. Serve the Lord with gladness. And in this other translation, it said worship the Lord. Many people don't know this, but I think y'all know this here at Ebenezer. That word worship in Hebrew is the same word for work and for service. How do we worship God? We serve his people.
Yes.
How do we worship God? We serve those he entrusted to us. And when I was reading this and thinking about today's theme of men, and definitely men of service, men of faith, this is the verse that stuck out to me for men. Because many men think that, a man is born to lead. A man is born to be the head of the house, to lead this and to lead that. But I don't think we have a full picture of what a man is born to do. I think that we need to find an example of the man of all mans, the king of all kings, and the lord of all lords. When we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, it says that the king of glory didn't come to us to be served, but instead he came to serve. When the disciples were arguing with each other, well, which of us will be the greatest when your kingdom comes? He says, the one who wants to be greatest above all, you have to serve all.
Yeah.
In one of the Gospels, right after that, the passage where Jesus brings up a little child and he says the kingdom of God is like this, it follows right after that passage. What is he showing you? The greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he's saying it's children, or it's like that. Why? Because when a child cries at 3 a.m., like my baby boy cries, we're up serving him. When a child's hungry, we're serving him. So I may be in the leadership position. I may be called to lead, guide, and direct him, to have authority, to have dominion, but you're called to serve with it. And that's what we do. And service can be a daunting thing. Service can be a tiring thing. Sometimes you have to wake up early. Sometimes you have to work well into the night. Sometimes service is pouring over scriptures until you feel like you're blind because you can't read the words anymore. Sometimes service is going and visiting and preaching day in, day out. It's work. So how do we make it through? How do we make it through a life of service? God put man on this earth to work, to dress and keep his garden, to tend to it. I planted it, you tend to it. How do I keep the passion? How do I wake up each morning and say, I'll do it, Lord. Send me. Where do you want me to go? He gives us the answer. That's what's good about the word of God. He answers everything quickly. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. This goes back to joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if I can be glad in my work, if I can find gladness in my service, I can be filled with the strength of the Holy Spirit to do it another day. And we prayed this morning, give us this day our daily bread. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough for itself. I pray you give me enough joy and strength to get through this day and do what you put me on this earth to do. That's what serving the Lord is. And we can do it with gladness, even when it's hard. Paul was in prison singing to the Lord, and he broke the chains. That's what's good about our God. He says, come before his presence with singing. I think this is also a good one for the men. Because something that I find is sometimes we as men, we're shy about singing. Sometimes we don't like our singing voice. We don't like how it sounds. But when it comes to God and his goodness, if you don't sing to him, it's like you miss such a great gift that is hid in Christ. When we sing, it's like we release burdens. When we sing, we reassure ourselves that we are children of God. When we sing, a lot of times we sing about the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice that he made for us and eternal life that we're waiting for. It puts us in a state of glory. It's like we come in contact with the heavenly. Because you know in heaven, they sing day and night, 24/7. There is no stopping. They're singing now. They're saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lord God Almighty. And to the Lamb. So we have to sing. This is how we get in contact with the divine. And I found some of the greatest work God has done in my life it's been when I've been singing. There's something about song. If I read his words and I say, okay, your mercy renews every morning. Your mercy is everlasting. You've forgiven me. It's like, okay, I understand. Yeah, okay. These words, they seem good. But there's something when you sing about it. That glory has come to me. That God has forgiven me. That there is mercy stored up for me. When you sing about it, there's something that puts your heart in it. There's something that puts your heart in it. And so we have to take ourselves to a state of praise. It says that we're coming before his presence, yes, with singing. So this has two meanings. One, when you come and you show up, you better be coming singing. But also, I think there's another meaning. That when we sing, we come before his presence. Singing pulls us into the atmosphere of heaven. And we all need it. So whether you think you have a good singing voice or bad singing voice, it sounds good to God. He hears it as sweet worship. His loving child, just like if your little baby came singing a song and they barely speak English too well, you're not going to say, not good enough. Not a good song. I don't like it. No, you're going to be pleased. And so it's his joy to have us sing to him. It says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. So this next section of scripture, he tells you what to do. Make a joyful noise everywhere. All ye lands, everywhere. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Do these things. But this verse tells you why. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God? I almost hear it as a question. Well, don't you know that the Lord is God? Why do I make a joyful noise? Because the Lord is God. He's made all things for our enjoyment. Why do I serve him with gladness? Don't you know that the Lord is God? I could hear it in my head. I don't know this is how I read scripture. I can have fun with it. Don't you know that the Lord is God? Know ye this day that the Lord is God. If you're looking for God, you can look for it in a lot of places. There's a lot of different religions saying this, saying that. But don't you know that our Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, that's the true God. He came to us and he presented us our true Father. Don't be confused. Don't you know that the Lord is God? It says, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. When Job was wrestling with God, having his problems, this is how God responded to him. He said, well, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?
Where were you?
Declare it if you can understand it. He said, who laid the measure thereof? If you know, who has stretched the line upon it to measure it? He says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the suns shouted for joy. You see, no matter where you go in scripture, they're singing. They're joyful. They're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And he says, he made us. Not we ourselves. It's funny. You think it'd be a silly thing, but some people believe themselves that they're all a piece of God. We're all a piece of God. No. You didn't make yourself. Unless you formed yourself, unless you gave yourself the gifts that you've been given, unless you've given yourself the life that God has blessed you with, you need to go to him and thank him for that.
Yes.
You think you've made yourself. You think you've built up your own life. You didn't. He blessed you with it. Yes. He gave you the appearance. He put you in a country like this where you can build up your life. And now this country is turning its back from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know that he is God? It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. And this is like the hallelujah moment. We are his people. Doesn't it feel good to be claimed by the Lord? You know, there are people who disown you in a second. Oh, I don't know her. Oh, I don't know him. Oh, yeah. They could be your own brother and sister. But the Lord, he proclaims that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So now we got to take it to another song. Sheep of his pasture. He says, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff. Says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I have the joy of the Lord. You can't touch me. Can't touch me. If I'm praising, you can't touch me. It's almost like praise creates a, I don't know what to call it. It's like a hedge of protection. That the enemy, all the wickedness, all the evil in the world, it can't touch you when you're praising. It puts you in a different spiritual place. This is why I suggest to all people in this room, and specifically the men, be sure you're singing. Be sure you're praising. Be sure you joyfully make a noise. And when you make the noise, make it joyful. And shout it to the Lord. We are his people. I love the fact that, I'll get a little personal. One thing that touches me about God is the fact that he is not ashamed to call me by his name. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I'm ashamed in certain rooms to be called by my own name. Sometimes we all can be a little ashamed, like Adam and Eve hiding out. Oh, don't look at me, Lord. And it says he's not ashamed to call us by his name. He's like a good father. No matter how far you go, you come back. That's my son. What'd you say he did? Pardoned. I'm not going to look at him any different. He's my son. It's like when the prodigal son returns. He's puts a robe on him, puts sandals on his feet, and then put a ring on his finger. That ring shows authority. That ring shows that when he came back, he was at the same height as when he left. He didn't have to come back and be one of the lowest. He came back and he was fully embraced as the son of the king, the son of God. We are children of God. Men, you are sons of God and you bear that name. And that was the same name Christ Jesus bared when he walked with us. What an honor it is for us. Let us serve. It is good for us to serve. Why should we serve? Don't you know he is God? Don't you know we are his people? Don't you know he has made us and we are the sheep of his pasture and he leads me beside the still waters and he restores my soul? I think that's speaking about the Holy Spirit as well. He's given us that gift of the Holy Spirit so that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit can dwell in us and we can be temples of the living God. We are his people. It's the most beautiful thing in all the world. Yes. This is the thing that people, they don't realize it, but they're running to try to attain this. Yes. To be children, two true children of God, heirs of salvation, heirs of the eternal kingdom. They're searching for it in all kinds of places. And my God freely gives it. I had someone ask me, why does perfection seem so hard? Why is it so hard for me to be perfect and it seems easy for other people to be perfect? How do I wrestle with feeling like I'm called to perfection? And I responded like this. I said, you know, my God has made it very easy to be perfect. Honestly, the easiest it's ever been. He said, I'll take your sins. I'll take your wrongdoings. I'll take your failures. I'll take your mistakes. I'll put that on the cross. And instead, I'm a gift to you, my perfection, my righteousness, my name, my spirit, my glory. You'll be my heirs. You'll be co-heirs with me. What a trade. What a trade. See, he's even helping me back here. He said, what a trade. What a great trade God has made for us. It says that he made him that knew no sin to become sin for us so that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So if you're searching for spiritual cleansing, healing, righteousness, pureness, find it in Christ. Pray to him. Don't look it up online. Don't read all the books. Pray to him. Go to him. You have the source. He's gifted you with the Spirit. And it says that the Spirit can tell us the deep things of God. How do you feel about me? Well, he says his mercy is everlasting. So he feels pretty good about you. He calls you his child, his son, his daughter, his love, his beloved, his bride. He feels pretty good about you. Let us take that confidence and let's have joy in that confidence. It says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thanksgiving, I'll put it in a word that's more common to us, gratitude. Yeah. Be grateful. Be thankful for what's been given to you. And what I love about this is, yes, gratefulness is something that we give to God, but really it's something that we need for our own spirit. It's something that we need for our own soul, right? Thankfulness, being able to be grateful unto God, it's like, so I'll read you a little bit of what Paul writes in Philippians. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If I have the thanksgiving, this is what he said. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we remind ourselves of all that he's given us, when we become grateful and thankful for what he has done to us, is he keeps us. He restores our soul. He keeps our hearts. He eases our minds. We can have peace, love, joy, hope, faith, and righteousness. We have to remind ourselves to be thankful. And so when we come to him, when we enter into his gates, let's make sure that it has thanksgiving. It says, "And into his courts with praise, sing to him, and bless his name," right? Blessing is not just singing. Sometimes you have to shout, "He's so good." Sometimes you have to say, "You are the God of my salvation. You are my joy in the morning. You are my bright sun that lights my path. You've given me a life that I could only dream of because I know where my salvation is hid. You have prepared a place for me." That's how much you love me. Oh, and he said if he prepares a place for us, he's going to come back to us. And he's going to receive us to himself so that wherever he is, we will be also. Praise him. Bless his name. It says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So I started my ministry as an evangelist. So mercy is one of my favorite words. And so I have to take a section to speak about his goodness to the lost. This is another reason. Why do we have thanksgiving? Why do we bless his name? For the Lord is good. That's why. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. It's beautiful when you have a God that delights in being merciful. It says that it's the glory of God to look over a matter. So when you do wrong, he can look over and be like, "Oh yeah, get it right." But it's his glory to look over a matter. So if you are far from God, if you have not personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as the full trade-off, the full trade of your salvation, or excuse me, for your sin, if you're trusting in yourself to stand before God and say, "Here I am," no. Get to Jesus. He died for you. It says that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, and that we can be righteous before God. We can be justified by God. And if you will put your faith in him, repent, be baptized for the remission of sin, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what he says. And if you think you're too far gone, these are the words that he asked for you. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon." I don't have a God that looks over some things. He looks over all of it. He put it all on the cross. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So he has mercy that we can't even understand. When he says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts," he's speaking about his mercy. That's how good my God is. He's not even speaking about his wisdom. He's not speaking about his glory is higher than yours. He's speaking about his mercy. You can't even begin to imagine how much he just wants you, right? And one thing I love about Christ is he's the lover of my soul. It says he's the bishop and shepherd of our souls. And so if you have not been covered by Jesus Christ, if he's not the one who's dying for your sin and you're thinking that you're going to stand before God and be justified any other way, come to the cross. Lay yourself at the cross. Ask God, say, God, is there anything you can do for me, with me? Is there anything you can do with me? I have soiled myself. I've dirtied myself. I'm imperfect. I'm impure. I'm all kinds of sinful. I'm perverse. I'm wretched. I'm broken. I'm heartbroken as well. I'm without comfort. Is there anything you can do with a broken vessel? And let the great potter make you new. Amen. That's what I would say. So, says the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. To leave you with one more thing. It says, make a joyful noise. So this sounds like a command, and it kind of is a command, but really, this isn't the kind of command where it's, oh, it's your job to make a joyful noise. It's our joy to make a joyful noise. So go in peace, go in love, go in joy. God bless you, Ebenezer.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful word. Amen. We are truly grateful. He's given us the recipe. Amen. Psalms 100, the Lord. And if we continue to serve him, if we continue to focus on him, continue to do it gratefully and enjoy, the Lord will continue to use us. Amen. At this time, we're going to open the doors of the church. We're asking the deacons and the ushers and the greeters if they will come to receive you. There may be someone here today. Accept or reject. May the Lord have mercy on yourselves.